Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm with Caroline Miledo, Senior Manager, Corporate Responsibility, EMEA, and Head Globally for Human Rights with Hilton Worldwide. Welcome, Caroline.
Thank you.
We're at the How Business Can Better Manage Human Rights Risks Forum in London at Inmarsat. Caroline, we've been talking about conducting effective human rights impact assessment. For you at Hilton, what did you do when you wanted to identify the exact nature of the issues at hand, and what happens if they're not particularly the ones you are expecting them to be?
Basically, the journey that we have been on is to identify our risks from a human rights perspective, which in many ways is quite new to companies. We are used to look at risks that will impact the business and or at issues that will be important to your internal or external stakeholders. When you think about external stakeholders, you do think about communications and PR straight away, right? However, when you are looking at human rights risks, you are looking at the risks to the rights holders. And that is definitely not the type of stories that would make a best PR line necessarily.
And how do you manage that shift internally?
What you try to show is that you really want to respect human rights, so better understand what those human rights are. You want to uncover the blind spots that you may have in your bias perspective of the role that your company plays in the market. But most interestingly, you are actually deepening the understanding of how your company operates, the role it plays in the market, and some of the impacts it may have through its operations, business relationships, behaviors, products, or services that it puts in the market. And that's the most valuable approach that can help sell a human rights impact assessment as opposed to, say, a materiality issue that is going to please stakeholders.
Just looking for the salient points, I guess. Now, for a hotel chain like Hilton, I would imagine that the most important thing is dealing with child trafficking for sexual exploitation. Is that your biggest risk?
It is definitely part of our biggest risk for sure. And this is why the industry has been focusing on that particular issue for probably the past 10, 15 years. But you're quite right that here, all the minds are focused on that issue. And that would be the material issue perspective. Now, when you actually conduct a human rights impact assessment, you look beyond the obvious. You don't know what you don't know. And that's what the human rights impact assessment helps you find. And so what we found is that actually, the likelihood of human trafficking or child trafficking for sexual exploitation is not as high as we might have thought, especially if compared with other key salient issues in our supply chain, especially with regards to labor agencies or down the line with our relationship with owners when they contract with, say, construction companies.
And I guess this is another mind shift, isn't it? Because generally, this is the issue that hotel chains are thought to have as their biggest risk. How do you manage that shift? How do you phrase it when you're communicating this externally?
Well, you don't shift. You don't shift away. You do confirm definitely that human trafficking is a risk, and it is indeed still a key risk, absolutely. But you want to do two things. One, you want to build on the great effort and successes that we have led in this area, demonstrating that we have really done a fantastic job as being part of the solution, and we want to expand that role in other areas because we can. So that's the first thing you want to do. The second thing is probably to explain and raise awareness a little bit better about the framework in which we operate today. We are 5-6 years into the UN Guiding Principles. The Modern Slavery Act is out there. There is always more opportunities to understand what human rights risks mean. And our stakeholders understand that. Mm-hmm. Our clients, some investors, some of the owners even, and a lot of our guests will understand that. And so we need to live up to our responsibility to respect human rights by being better informed and better managing the whole range of human rights we may impact.
So human rights risk assessment, it sounds very daunting. What does the process look like? What's the first step?
So if that's the very first human rights impact assessment you're ever doing for your company, you want to take it as an opportunity to better understand the role that your company plays in the market. So the steps would go. First, take all the list of human rights as per the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the ILO conventions, and then you might actually want to focus on the ones that you will definitely impact on. Some of the rights, you won't actually necessarily impact on them, or you could potentially make a case that you are impacting them positively. Well, those are not going to be your risks. So focus on the ones that you impact negatively. Then you want to look at, among all of that list of rights, at the severity of the impact, the gravity on the rights holder, on the individual, the spread, how many people might be affected, and the duration. Can you actually flip that back, right? If one of the rights is affected, can you actually remedy it? That's going to give you the real salient risks. And out of that, you cross that with your business operations, and that's going to help you really identify your key salient risks. At Hilton, when we did our human rights impact assessments, we ended up with 9 salient risks, and human trafficking for sexual exploitation is one of them.
And what are the sort of internal drivers for this? I mean, what is this business benefits? Obviously, no business wants to be involved in bad, poor human rights record or be involved in things like child trafficking for sexual exploitation. Those sort of things are something that a company wants to be involved in. But what are the kind of business drivers the other way? What are the kind of things that the benefits that you can demonstrate to your colleagues when you're doing these assessments that will mean that the company will behave better, it'll be a better company, in terms of the economic bottom line will be improved? How do you go about that process?
So the first thing that I found working very well is that actually, indeed, everybody in the company wants to do a good job. And so when you raise awareness of the potential that actually through buying such and such things, through working with the owners in certain parts of the world, there might be some human rights impacts, everybody wants to get it right. So when you come in with more information, more support, more tools in helping them do their job better, it's hard to have any pushback. When it comes to issues that maybe can touch on potentially commercially tricky, then you can come around and explain a little bit more about the risk of not doing it. And there have been some famous examples in the market of large brands who have been hit by some human rights being violated somewhere way down their supply chain. And it was a way to know in advance that this could happen. So really selling it from the perspective of risk management, of being a better prepared company, more informed, and then empowering all of the experts across the different divisions to actually do their job better.
It's something that though hotel customers aren't really taking any notice of. I mean, we did a straw poll in our session about, we asked who here is staying in a hotel tonight, and we're at a human rights event, and yet none of the companies had any policy around looking at human rights policies of their hotel rooms supplier when it came to having a policy where the employees would stay. Do you have any examples of your consumers actually being that bothered about these things?
Yeah, certainly. I guess, the way that that those policies might come about is when those companies do their own human rights risk assessment in their supply chain. And depending on what they buy, if you are a food provider, really, the hotels, that you procure is not your biggest risk, because it's definitely not your biggest fans or the most relevant thing that you are buying when doing your business, which is serving food. So from that perspective, I think hotels might cop a little bit more further down the line as being one of the smaller suppliers by comparison. Again, all companies have to prioritize with where the most salient risks are. Hotel stays are not necessarily linked to the core business. There might not actually be any link whatsoever to human rights impact of certain companies. Maybe more when you're talking about service companies, where really travel is what they buy most of, apart from paper clips and computers probably. So I guess that's why you might see not as many companies doing this yet, but there are plenty of companies that are already checking on this.
Is that the challenge for the sector then? It's simply not a high priority for every other sector. It's a very much a kind of lesser risk. So it's not going to be the ones I'm going to deal with immediately. Is that a challenge for you? Do you find that?
Yes and no. At the same time, I guess we don't need to wait for corporate clients to wake up to the, or to ask us the question for us to start working on these issues. We know what our responsibility to respect is. We follow our plan. We have our strategy. And again, and that goes back to the beginning of our discussion, we are tackling our salient risks, whatever our stakeholders say.
Yeah, and there's also quite a lot of pre-competitive collaboration in the space as well, isn't there? So tell us a little bit about how that works in the hotel sector.
Yeah, sure. Well, it must be. When you're talking about key issues like labor sourcing, potential trafficking, or the challenges of construction workers, you can't do it by yourself. Nobody can. And so we find that we need to collaborate, especially with the other large hotel brands who, similar to Hilton, have very high standards and really want to drive those high standards. So the way that we collaborate is primarily through the International Tourism Partnership, which is a group where you get all of the heads of CR, but also on human rights or environments. We collaborate on key issues that that we share, and human rights is one of them. And so we agree to focus on key issues, to go in the same direction. We help each other in terms of where to start, where to go, and what type of practices do work or not. It's in our interest. In our interest as practitioners, when we can go back internally and say that the other big name is working on it as well, but fundamentally as practitioners committed to tackling human rights and respecting human rights, we need to work together.
So practitioners working to protect and to develop better human rights policies, but I guess the internal battle will always remain. You still have to convince your colleagues to move along, and not just you, but your fellow other hotel chains, the people in your position, other hotel chains have to convince internally too. So I guess that's maybe where the kind of where the anchors are in the problem, the kind of slowing of the process.
Yeah, and that's the whole beauty of the human rights process, I guess. And here it's true for every single company, because it's a different approach, because it is new. I mean, human rights is like environment 20 years ago. And look, even in environment, it took us, 20, 30 years to get even to COP21 to have actually a consensus at a global level and companies to really understand that they need to move on these issues. Human rights is very new. So yes, it's taking time. And I don't see it going any faster anytime soon. Not much faster, probably, and not fast enough. But that's why working diligently and collaboratively is the only way to move the needle.
So we need an equivalent of COP for in social and human rights issues.
Yeah, if we could get there, that would be fantastic.
Watch this space. Caroline Miledo from Hilton, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much.